Many people think prophets only foretell the future, but Paul tells us, he who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and comfort. 1 Cor 14:3, all preachers and teachers prophesy. If they have not been sent by God and if they do not speak the words God has told them to speak, they are false prophets. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran ahead of me. I have not spoken to them, yet they have prophesied. Jer 23:21. The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I did not send them, neither have I commanded them, nor spoken to them. Jer 14:14. Today, the blind guide preachers of Christianity are the false prophets, who have not been taught by the Lord's voice and light, not perfected by the Lord, not gifted with an authorized ministry, not sent by the Lord, and not speaking words from the Spirit of the Lord. Rather, they speak from their carnal minds, the nature of death, and preach their vain opinions from the imagination of their evil hearts. They are the wolves in sheep's clothing, hungry for your money, eager to lord it over you, in their covetousness making you as merchandise with deceptive words. Without any fear of God, the preachers ignore Jesus' teachings, his commands, and his warnings. Thus, they deny him as Lord and Master. To create their false Christianity, the blind guide preachers of Christianity have taken a few verses out of context, while ignoring countless others, including those that specifically state the exclusions, requirements, and qualifying conditions of salvation. They also overlook that every man will be judged on his works and words. The preachers of Christianity are the blind guides that Jesus told us to leave and disregard. From the word of the Lord within, there are millions of blind guide preachers. And to those who think they are not blind, the word of the Lord within said, I work with the blind, but if you think you can see, and you are not with me in heaven, I will make you a laughingstock. In the last two verses of the book of Matthew, Jesus commands his disciples to go and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Matt 28:19-20. So, his true disciples are supposed to be teaching us to observe all his commands, but Christendom ignores all his commands. From the word of the Lord within, they have gutted Jesus. They have made the Bible hollow. They have taken the Bible and made it an unholy thing used to justify their immersion in sin. Where is the teaching of Christ's commands in Christianity today? And who is showing people how to become obedient to all his commands? Who is teaching, be perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect, Matt 5:48, and then explaining how to comply? There are many scripture references to the requirement of perfection in the New Testament. Click to see, and in the Old Testament too. Click to see. Only the power of God can change a man to be perfect, and the completion of his perfection process of you is when Jesus appears to crush the head of the Satan under your feet. Rom 16:20. We must be righteous as he is righteous, 1 John 3:7-10. We must be perfect, even as the Father is perfect. Matt 5:48. We must be merciful as he is merciful, Luke 6:36. We must become pure as he is pure, 1 John 3:3. But as he who has called you is holy, so you be holy in all manner of conduct, 1 Pet 1:15. So that we walk as he walked, 1 John 2:6, and as he is, so are we in this present world. 1 John 4:17. There is no flexibility and no equivocation in any of these stated requirements. Who is teaching? Therefore be merciful as your Father also is merciful. Luke 6:36. Who is teaching? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matt 6:33. Who is teaching? Repent or perish. Luke 13:3. Who is teaching? Sin no more. John 5:14. Who is teaching? Believe in the light, depend on, trust, and obey, so that you may become children of the light, John 12:36. Who is teaching? If any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, Luke 9:23. Who is teaching? So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple, Luke 14:33. Who is teaching? He who finds his life shall lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. Matt 10:39. Who is teaching how to do the will of God and thus go to heaven? Yet Jesus seriously warned us. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Matt 7:21. There is a web page on this site that thoroughly explains what it means and how to do the will of the Father who is in heaven. What? Not your preacher? then he is not a disciple of Christ, but is one of the millions of blind guides, a minister of Satan transformed masquerading as a minister of righteousness. 2 Cor 11, 14-15. And the above list is just a few of Jesus' commands. Click here to see many more. So, come out of her, my people, so that you do not share in her sins, and so you will not receive her plagues. Rev 18:4 Was not your preacher perfected by Christ? Then according to Jesus' parable below, your preacher is a blind guide. Then he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into a ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone who is perfect purified, restored to the spiritual image of God, specifically authorized and perfected, will be like his master. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye by getting perfect like the master, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Luke 6:39-42 A perfected preacher is like the master Jesus, who sees clearly what to do and hears what to say. But the unperfected preachers are blind guides. Jesus said, "Leave them alone and disregard them. They are blind guides and teachers. And if a blind man leads a blind man, they both will fall into a ditch." Matt 15:14 below is a checklist for the doctrines of false prophets, who are blind guides. Any one of the below qualifies a false prophet and an antichrist, and realize that the greatest deceivers are those who speak 98% truth and 2% lies, which is far harder to detect than someone who speaks 50% truth and 50% lies. Does he ask for money? Does he take a salary? Does he solicit love gifts? Does he tell you that you should tithe? Does he observe and/or celebrate certain days as special, worthy of his and your observation? Does he forbid certain foods? Does he wear long robes and/or crosses and/or tall hats to impress you with his holiness? Does he suggest his followers dress in any uniform way? Does he promote water baptism in any way? Does he promote wine, grape juice, bread in communion, or the Eucharist? Does he state any other way to salvation, other than the death of your selfish, sinful nature on the cross? Does he maintain that perfection is impossible on this side of the grave, in this life? Does he tell you everything wrong about the churches, but then not show you how to be able to reach perfection and purity yourself? Does he maintain that studying the scriptures is the way to grow spiritually? Does he preach that the gospel is to be saved from hell after death, or that the gospel is the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Does he emphasize eternal hellfire and damnation, attempting to scare people into accepting Jesus? Does he preach that Jesus is going to physically come back to the earth and rule the earth in person? Does he preach that grace is to be saved by believing in Jesus, and/or saying a prayer, and/or saying Jesus is Lord, and/or being water baptized? There are many variations of instant salvation by micro, dead works. One sect stated that just by walking down the aisle in response to their altar call resulted in being saved. Others require one to say, "I do." Does he tell you that the law is dead, and therefore there is no sin because there is no law to be broken? Or does he tell you that because you believe in Jesus, the laws do not count when broken? Does he tell you that you are righteous because you believe in Jesus? Does he tell you that there is no cross necessary for you because Jesus did it all and finished it? Does he boast or brag? Does he flatter people? Does he raise his voice to a shout to make a point? Does he wave his arms when speaking? Does he claim the scriptures to be the word and word of God when Jesus is the word and the word of God? There is not a single verse in the Bible that refers to the word written, or the word cannot be broken, or the word was opened. Or search the word, or as the word has said, or read the word, or understanding the word, or holy word, or according to the word, or word shows, or what does the word say, or prophecy of the word, or knowing the word, because all such references refer to scriptures. Click to see. Does he teach that anyone who believes is any of the following? In Christ, in his name, possessing the righteousness of Christ, crucified with Christ, raised to the heavens, a citizen of heaven in the kingdom, having put on Christ, one with Christ, etc. In contrast, the following are doctrines of a true prophet. At least some should be evident in his writings or speakings. The true gospel is through repentance to become free from all sin, to enter union with God and Christ, and to be translated into the kingdom of heaven while still on earth and then forever. It is not a book. It is preached within every creature under heaven by Christ himself. From the word of the Lord within, the true gospel is very good news. The gospel is a mystery to the natural man, he cannot conceive it. The gospel is not a book to be read, it is to be revealed in your heart. The everlasting gospel comes to those who are not stained. A heart that is pure shall receive the glorious gospel freely. The gospel is pretty radical. It is mind-boggling, unity with Christ. This I offered free of charge to anyone. Within these writings, you may attain the way to salvation and disprove others, while discovering the hidden depths of the gospel that Jesus came to deliver. Jesus is in every man in the world. He is given to every man in the world to be believed as he anonymously pleads with all men to depart from evil. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God gains you nothing. Instead, you must believe Jesus, you must believe what Jesus speaks to you. That is the belief that John 3:16 actually references. The light and word within you is the Jesus that you must believe. Faith is to hear the word of God in your heart and then obey what you are told to do. There is no righteousness apart from speaking only what you hear God tell you to say, doing only what you see God show you to do, and judging only as God instructs you to judge. There is no righteousness apart from God. Man is in a cursed, fallen state, and nothing but a completely new heart, mind, and spirit will make a man acceptable to God. No ritual, no ceremony, no prayer, no act from your own will make you acceptable to God. Ceremonies, prayers, and rituals are just cheap, dead works done in the will of man. Your first priority in life must be to seek the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and you must seek with all your heart and soul. The one thing needed, the good part, which shall not be taken away, is to sit in humble silence as you wait on God, listening and watching for his spoken words and revelations to you, and then obey completely what he tells you. You show your respect and love for God by waiting on him in humble silence and then obeying what he commands you. The first commands that you will hear from the Lord are works of repentance you must obey in order to progress. After you have been crucified, you will be ordered to do works that are your joy, that show God's love to the world and bring glory to God. God's grace and salvation are provided to create a people dedicated to good works, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, lawless deeds, sin, and purify for himself a people who are his very own, zealous for good works. Tit 2:14, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has ordained before that we should walk in doing good works. F2:10, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Heb 13:21, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing in all things, being fruitful in every good work. Col 1:10, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matt 5:16, but he who practices truth comes to the light, so that his deeds may be shown to have been produced, formed, and powered through God. John 3:21, for it is God who brings forth in you, both the will to work and the works as commanded, according to his good pleasure. Phil 2:13, therefore, if a man purges himself from the latter, iniquity, lawlessness, sin, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and ready for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. 2 Tim 2:21, to attain salvation, you must crucify your sinful, selfish nature on the inward cross of self-denial. You must die daily. You must die on the cross to then be resurrected a new creature living a new life. Your carnal mind along with your evil imagination and evil heart must be destroyed on the cross to where you no longer think your own thoughts. All of Christianity has turned into Babylon, as was prophesied by John. The return of Jesus is limited to being an individual experience where Jesus is seen in the hearts of purified believers. Communion, or the Eucharist, confirmation, infant baptism, and all water baptisms are useless, heathenish rituals. Calling Jesus Lord does not make him the ruling, controlling Lord of all your deeds and each and every word spoken. Judas called him Lord and Master, but he certainly was not Judas Lord. Anyone who is still sinning is a slave to sin, John 8:34, and if you are slave to sin, sin is your master. Whoever sins denies Jesus as Lord and Master, their conduct denies that Jesus is their actual Lord and Master. You can call him Lord, but that does not make him your actual Lord. There is only one baptism, which is by fire, and is the baptism of death that destroys all the remaining sin within you, in which your body dies and is buried, and then you resurrected with Jesus to a new life as a new creature. God and Jesus are only known by revelation, what you see and hear within your heart. God is not known by reading about God or Jesus, nor by listening to someone talk about God or Jesus. Faith must be specifically authored by Jesus through revelation that you see and or hear from him. Your faith is a journey and must grow through multiple, successive revelations. You are still bound to observe the moral laws that are on every man's heart, which includes the moral core of the Mosaic law, until you have crucified your sinful nature, your lusts and affections, on the inward cross of self-denial, which is when you receive from Jesus the faith that frees, which is received as part of the fruit of the Spirit. The inner law can be understood to have been violated any time you exhibit a fruit of the flesh, which includes sexual immorality, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, profanity, adultery, lack of restraint, sorcery, hatred, arguments, jealousies, rage, selfish ambition, divisiveness, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, partying, evil thoughts, fornications, wickedness, deceit, blasphemy, pride, anger, boasting, flattery, immodesty, immorality, and foolishness. Any of these disqualify any man from heaven. A man innocent of all the above fruits of the flesh is in full compliance with the rigid requirements of salvation stated in the Scriptures. It is necessary to enter the kingdom of heaven while alive on earth to avoid being banned from heaven at death. Destruction of all sin in a believer is a firm requirement that must be met while on earth to avoid being banned from heaven after death. You must be freed from all sin, even the desire to sin. After crucifying your selfish, sinful nature, as a new creature, all your deeds are prompted by God, and each and every word you speak is ordered by God immediately before speaking. Then and only then are you righteous. Then and only then you are doing the will of God. Before George Fox had entered the second stage of perfection and the kingdom, for about 3 years he was sent on specific assignments by the Lord. But he only did what he was specifically told to do, exactly when he was told to do it. He then returned to his residence and continued waiting on the Lord. Plus, he was sufficiently perfected that he was able to speak and pray with words supplied by the Holy Spirit. So powerful were his words that even churches shook when he prayed within them. So limited teaching or preaching can be instructed by the Lord before you are completely perfected. But be careful to only do what he tells you to do, nothing more, nothing less. Then return to your home to continue to wait on the Lord's further imparting of his Spirit by his words that you hear him speak to you. Because the editors of this site have not yet been made perfect and have not yet entered the kingdom, we are also limited even further than Fox by the Lord. We are restricted to only writing, not allowed to preach orally, not allowed to give advice on any personal matters, not allowed to argue with anyone under any circumstances, not allowed to correct anyone unless specifically instructed, and only allowed to answer questions covered in the site if asked. We are not guides. We only point you to the Lord for your guidance, who will guide you if you sincerely seek his guidance by exposing yourself to his commands. We are permitted to only write because our writings are subject to correction by the Lord, and he does make corrections as well as sometimes supply specific wording to make sentences clearer. Those restrictions will be lifted when we have been completely crucified, the light arises in our hearts, and the Lord appears in us to direct our every word and all our deeds. See our testimony for more detail on our progress and restrictions. Jesus said the false prophets in sheep's clothing would come. John said the antichrists and false apostles had come and had gone out from among them. Peter saw the false teachers had come. Paul and Jude saw the false apostles had come and warned the brothers night and day for 3 years of more coming. And in Revelation, John saw where the whole world was to go after the false prophets and the false church, which occurred shortly afterwards. The false church is Revelation's whore of Babylon, riding the beast of many names 41,000 sex in Christendom, with horns like a lamb that resembles the true church, but who speaks like a dragon, men speaking from their carnal minds, which is enmity with God, and their vain opinions from their evil imaginations, instead of speaking words supplied by the Holy Spirit, as Jesus and the apostles did. How could this have happened? Jesus warned us of false prophets, blind guides, and even false miracle workers to come. John predicted the whole world would follow a false church. The apostles spoke of false ministers, teachers existing already while they were alive. And then in 336, add the Roman Emperor Constantine, who had boiled his wife to death and poisoned his son, effectively became the head of the church and ordered uniform Christian doctrines throughout the Roman Empire. And by the crushing boot of the Roman army, he ordered the true Christians' death or exile, even ordering the destruction of any documents that did not support the official Roman doctrines of Christianity. As was prophesied in Revelation 18:3, the church had adulterated with the kings of the earth. And you can't mix a church with the powers of the earth and expect anything but a monster religion to result, because the powers of the earth are motivated by greed, approval of men, possessions, pride, envy, revenge, bloodlust, all the base human characteristics. So by 388, add the true church, as was prophesied in Revelation 12:6, ceased to exist publicly and was driven into the wilderness. The Reformation failed to reestablish the true church, for according to the word of the Lord within, the Protestant sects have invented nothing new except instant salvation by grace. It is twisted, pernicious lies, a fatal flaw that turns aside the just. So the true church was not to appear publicly again until 1648 with George Fox and the early Quakers. Yet alas, as also spoken by the word of the Lord within, the last substance of the Quaker faith disappeared in 1880. There is no fear of God and no obedience. Thus the world was left with the false churches and only blind guide, false prophet preachers, still pervasive in Christianity today. Click below to see the Bible's many detailed descriptions of false prophets and false apostles, Jesus' warnings, apostles' warnings, and more warnings. Old Testament's warnings. From the word of the Lord within, beware of false prophets. There are millions of blind guide preachers. How can the ministers claim to be mine when inside they are full of deceit and hypocrisy? They do everything for show. The gregarious make a living teaching the scriptures. Those who preach against perfection have a lack of earnest faith. False prophets appeal to unstable souls. I am against the shepherds who have prophesied a false salvation. No one in Christendom is warning the people about sin. They have taken the Bible and made it an unholy thing used to justify their immersion in sin. They have trivialized the Bible. They gutted what Jesus had to say. Jesus is ad tunes. They forget about me and teach errors. They teach the commandments of men. In vain do they worship me. They throw the word righteousness around without any understanding of what it means. There is no hope, there is no guidance, other than study the scriptures. Woe be to them, for they have coupled an external form between the love of God to man. 10 words from him are better than 10 copied letters. They cannot understand what the Spirit is doing. Their preaching only conveys the pride of Samaria. Outside the faith, they are teaching an equilibrium between good and evil. Those who follow the advice of these unpurified leaders, their life is like a bubble. I refuse to answer them. We deliberately ignore those of great repute. The leader of their army is Lucifer. They want to be sons, they recognize the scripture. He that is born of God has no sin, but they blithely go on. These people are far from me, living in sin and teaching others the inevitability of sin until death. The licenser and spirit of grace cannot stand together. God brings the curse on those sleight of hand. I further decry those who make a living preaching the scriptures. Just like Judaism was taken over by the enemy, so has Christianity, which is corrupt through and through. Like Daniel, you are captive of the Chaldeans. Your place of worship is filled with unclean birds. Babylon is great and mighty. Babylon the Great, aggrandizement of self. O Christendom, be not at ease in Babylon. Woe to those who try to bring good from evil. In your worship service, look around you. Do you see the Holy Spirit? Proper worship is for two or three to speak as moved by the Spirit. Christianity has no idea what I am or for what I stand. There is no church in the world that Christ set up specifically. None of the churches reflect true Christianity. The leaders of Christianity are dogs, blind, dumb, ignorant dogs, professing to know everything, they know nothing. Professing to know everything, they live their lives as fools. Despite his record, the world regards Augustine as the foremost expert on religion. Catholic Church is medieval, it is a beast. Those of the Aegean Sea, their councils are thick and dark, their hearts are callous and cold. The Protestant sects have invented nothing new except instant salvation by grace. It is twisted, pernicious lies, a fatal flaw that turns aside the just. Do you agree with any who in their arrogance have stated that God excuses evil in believers? It's not fair, but they don't care. Only he who does the works of my Father can enter heaven. His works confirm who is. Only his works praise him. True shepherds speak words from the Spirit of God immediately before speaking, as Paul said, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit instructs, explaining spiritual things with spiritual words." 1 Cor 2:13, and as Peter said, "If any man speaks, let him speak with God's words oracles." 1 Pet 4:11. But the blind guides speak words from their carnal minds, which are enmity against God, and from the evil imaginations of their evil hearts. Even Jesus did not judge, speak, or act without the Spirit's specific prompting. Jesus said, "Of my own self, I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me." John 5:30. The Son can do nothing of himself by his own will, but only does what he sees the Father do. John 5:19. I have many things to say and to judge about you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world only those things that I have heard from him. John 8:26. For I do not speak from myself, but the Father who sent me himself commands me what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that to obey his command is life everlasting. Therefore, whatever I speak is just as the Father tells me to speak. John 12:49-50. He who speaks from himself, from his own mind, seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him, that man is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. John 7:18. If Jesus, as great as he is and was, would only speak the words he heard from the Father, then how much more should any man be careful to speak nothing about God or Jesus unless he hears the exact words to say at that moment? Any man who speaks of God or Christ without the Spirit's specific promptings is seeking his own glory, John 7:18, and he is estimating himself to be greater than Christ, for Christ said, "The disciple is not above his master, but everyone who is perfect purified, restored to the spiritual image of God, specifically authorized and perfected, will be like his master," Luke 6:39-42. Those that speak and are work for God without being specifically ordered in each and every word and action are essentially claiming their own words and deeds are superior to what Jesus might have been if he had made his own decisions about what to say and do. But the master sees everything to do and hears everything to say before speaking. Anyone not having been specifically sent by God and speaking without God providing his words to speak is a blind guide seeking his own glory, your money, and your admiration of him. Jesus spoke of the spiritual condition of any unpurified religious leader, their hearts not having been cleansed by him through his commands to repent. You clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. First cleanse what is within the inside of the cup and platter, so that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful on the outside, but within are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity sin. Matt 23:25-28. The blind guide's inability to distinguish the voice of the Lord versus the voices of deceit. Many of the blind guides in Christianity hear voices, but they can't distinguish between voices of deceit and the voice of the Lord. From the word of the Lord within, you will always have doubts until you hear his voice. My voice is like thunder over waters. There are millions of blind guide preachers. Little do they know, it is the voice of the Lord that identifies him. Of the millions of blind guides preachers, many hear a voice they think it is the Lord speaking to them, but they really don't know that the true voice of the Lord is like thunder over waters, only heard by those who have been completely crucified on the inward cross of self-denial. And the soft, gentle voice of the Holy Spirit, or the word within their heart, cannot be accurately identified as different from the voice of the devil. So the devil speaks volumes of instructions and prophecies to the blind guides, who think it is the Lord. This allows the devil to be very controlling in the 41,000 sects in Christianity. In addition, the devil works miraculous healings that the blind guides and their followers also think is the Lord's work, as detailed below. This is why we should only follow commands heard that urge us to repent from our behaviors we understand to be wrong. For if we follow commands that tell us to do anything else, we are responding to the devil's impersonation of God as the unsuspecting, blind guides of Christianity do. You may hear the Lord tell you to go ahead with your considering to buy something or do something that you feel is necessary, and providing it is nothing that you know to be wrong, or it is nothing he has told you not to do in the past, you can follow his suggestions before you can distinguish his voice. If you don't need what you are considering to purchase, he may plainly tell you, you don't need it. If it is not necessary to do something you are considering, he may tell you, it's not necessary. If it is necessary and are needed, he may encourage you to proceed. We will hear the Lord's voice like thunder over waters for the first time after we have submitted to the baptism of fire and death to be resurrected as a new creature. Then, as John 10:3-5 states, we will know his voice, he will lead us out of the world to the kingdom, and we will flee from other voices. Click here for more details on how to avoid being deceived by the voices of the opposition. Don't be fooled by people with power, but not the truth. Never accept any demonstration of power as necessarily coming from God. Do not be deceived with power accompanied by lies. Remember Jannes and Jambres, the Egyptian magicians, who cast down their rods that turned into serpents, and who turned the waters of Egypt to blood. The miracle workers of Christendom, who preach the false gospel of instant grace as a license for excusing continuation of sin, derive their power from Satan. The power of Satan is not limited to false Christian ministers. It is also frequently demonstrated in other religions. Power without truth is how the false Church of Babylon was established. Unless power is accompanied by the true gospel, freedom from even the desire to sin, union with Christ and God, and translation into the kingdom of God while still on earth, through repentance on the inward cross of self-denial that results in Jesus appearing in your heart to destroy all sin, such power is from the devil and not God. In Revelation, we are told the spirits of demons would be working miracles. Rev 16:14, and the demons work miracles through men who put on a great show of being religious. There are many Christian healing ministries with great show, great pomp, great words of vanity, loud and raucous services, but you will know them by the fruits they obviously lack. Self-control, peace, gentleness, humility, etc. Smith Wigglesworth of several years ago, still highly praised by the Pentecostals, had a faith healing ministry where he slugged people in the stomach to heal them, saying he was slugging the devil in them, not them. One man he slugged so hard that he died, but of course the minister then raised him from the dead. You will know them by their fruits, and violence is not a fruit of the Spirit, but gentleness is. A current televangelist, who is widely acclaimed and praised by the leadership of the Pentecostal movement, heals by slugging people, kicking people, and slamming people on the forehead, as he staggers around like a drunk shouting his message. William Branham was a preacher who performed great miracles, died in a car crash in 1967, still has many dedicated followers today, and has been greatly lauded by Pentecostal and charismatic leaders like Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts, and Benny Hinn, all because of his ability to perform miracles. Branham had many prophecies, received from angels, including that the United States would be destroyed and Jesus would return in 1977. Branham was misogynistic, teaching a very negative message about women in general, while claiming that Eve had sex with the serpent in the Garden of Eden, which resulted in the birth of Cain, and that Cain's descendants are reprobates, the scientists, and educated people of today. His doctrine is totally false for. It seriously contradicts scripture, and Adam knew Eve as his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, Gen 4:1. Cain's descendants were wiped out during the flood of Noah, Gen 6:9. According to the word of the Lord within, demons do not have sex with humans, and neither do serpents for that matter. Yet, because Branham had so many miracle healings across the world, some of followers visit his grave every Easter, expecting him to be resurrected. The Lord is recorded as warning us three times about false Christian prophets, ministers, evangelists, teachers, that perform miracles. For there will arise false Christs and prophets, and will show great signs and wonders, so much that, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Matt 24:24, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders to seduce even the elect if it were possible. Mark 13:22, every tree that does not bring forth good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out demons, and in your name done many wonderful works. and then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who work iniquity, sin, lawlessness, or wickedness. Matt 7:19-23, from the word of the Lord within. I only know those who have been crucified. He knows everything. But his knowing you is for him to become one with you, which occurs after you have been crucified. That is when we see him for the first time with a pure heart and hear his voice like thunder over waters the first time. Up until then, we interface with the Word and light within our hearts, plus the Holy Spirit who prepares us for the meeting of unity with Jesus, who is holy, harmless, and separate from sinners. You can call him Lord, you can call him Master, but so did Judas. Calling Jesus Lord does not make him your Lord. He is your Lord only if he has freed you from all sin, if he has destroyed your carnal mind, if he has purified you, and if he supplies all your words to speak, all your thoughts, and all your deeds to be done. The Pentecostal movement has now devolved into a circus of uncontrolled laughter, screaming, shouting, animal sounds, drunkenness, collapsing and unable to get up, people twitching and jerking spasmodically, everyone displaying a lack of self-control. To be filled with the Spirit is have your thoughts, words, and actions controlled by the Spirit, not drunkenness, revelry, foolishness, or harsh uncontrolled laughter. All of which are fruits of the flesh and violate self-control, peace, and gentleness, which are fruits of the Holy Spirit. And regarding false prophets, Jesus told us, "You will know them by their fruits. Do not be misled." This movement, known as the Toronto Blessing, has services fueled by a strong delusion that fools people to think they are experiencing the power of God, but leaves them stuck in their sins. This same incredible power that takes people over is seen in Hinduism, known as Kundalini, awakening the serpent power. The leaders of the Pentecostal movement try to excuse the Pentecostal movement's drunkenness by saying that Peter and the disciples were all drunk on the Spirit when the Holy Spirit was poured on them in Acts 2. There is radical difference between being in uncontrolled drunkenness and a controlled elation of joy. Peter and the disciples were in perfect control, speaking in the many of the languages of the dispersed Jews who had returned to Jerusalem. Their speech in all the different languages was recognizable. Peter then preached by the Holy Spirit and convinced 3,000 men to become believers in Jesus Christ. If Peter and the other disciples has been staggering around, falling down drunk, and mumbling like the Pentecostals do, they would have been totally ignored or stoned. Trying to justify their uncontrolled, satanic behavior by claiming Peter and the disciples were drunk on the Spirit is without reason and shameful. They have joined with the mockers of the disciples who mockingly said, "These men are full of new wine," Acts 2:13. Thus the Pentecostal leaders mock Pentecost as well as Peter and the disciples. To mock is to make someone or something look stupid by laughing at them, copying them, or saying something that is not kind. That is what the mockers did at Pentecost, calling Peter and the disciples drunk with new wine. Whatever the cause, drunkenness is the complete opposite of self-control, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, Gal 5:22-23. Drunkenness and revelry are not fruit of the Holy Spirit. They are fruit of the flesh, and those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, Gal 5:19-21. The power of Satan is also frequently demonstrated in other religions. I can testify to a harrowing personal experience with a young man that I met begging on the street. This individual said he had no place to sleep that night, so I invited him to my home, where I witnessed several supernatural demonstrations of power. He had participated in Hare Krishna, Hindu, etc., and he had adopted a Hindu name. He believed there was no difference between good and evil. Though I had never met him before, he related details of my life that even my wife did not know. When I left him upstairs to listen to music, he rummaged through my 40-plus CDs and brought down two, which he handed to me and correctly told me which son had given each to me for a gift and chastised me that I had never played them, which was also correct. He had also picked up three items where the CDs were stored and told me they were favors from my youngest son's wedding and that I should have them proudly displayed to honor my son's marriage rather than stored away out of sight. He was correct as to their origin. There were other supernatural events that had also occurred with him. He suggested that God had created me for pleasure and I should indulge in whatever I desired, including adultery. This was before I had been freed of lust for women. When morning finally came, I told him he must go, and we got in our very reliable car. I turned the key on, and the engine died 2 seconds later. I turned the key on, and the engine died again. I looked in the rearview mirror, and he was sitting directly in the middle, looking down at the ignition switch and praying so hard his face had literally turned the brightest red I had ever seen on a man before. It looked very similar to common depictions of devils. I reached for the key and with force turned it and held it with great resolve. This time the car started and held, allowing us to complete the exit of this individual. Although Babylon's false prophets are very difficult to discern, the elect are not deceived, because their love of the truth overrides their being impressed with demonstration of power accompanied by lies. The false church of Babylon shows great signs and wonders to convince those who have not been taught by revelation in their hearts by the Spirit of God as to what is the true gospel, the true hope, love versus lust, sin versus righteousness, turmoil versus peace, humility versus pride, good versus evil, light versus darkness, bitter versus sweet. Since the elect have been taught by the Spirit in revelations, they see past the miracles of the false church and false prophets, which false prophets live in sin and excuse lifelong sin. This website's purpose is to show how to become free from sin by benefiting from the changing power of God through the cross, which leads to union with God and His kingdom.